Welcome to the Cape Town Weekly happened? Podcast with your host, EMH. In your panel today, consisting of Root Mazer, Dr. Venkman, Mr. Black, the Dude, and Abe Froman. The podcast begins in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Okay. Do I talk first?
It's all good, mate. It's all you, buddy.
See, this is what happened. I've missed 4 of the last 5 podcasts. Am I still the one that talks? Or
Yes.
That was. Yes. Am I the only one that heard a British host guy announce this? It's like Ricky Gervais or something? I don't know. All right. Well, you guys will tell me to shut up if you want me to shut up. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. Thank you for welcoming me back. I haven't been here in quite some time. It's been a few weeks for me, so I'm thrilled to be with you and excited for all the great movie stuff we have to talk about tonight. With us, as the disembodied British voice said, we got Mazer, Venkman, the Dude, Mr. Black. Is Abe Froman here?
I'm here, buddy.
Oh, good. So that's everybody. I didn't miss anybody, right?
We got the Dude, and you're back, and we're very happy to have the whole family back tonight. It's
full panel tonight.
Full panel of greatness and excitement.
And we're doing this live, right?
Yeah, live with video. I mean,
that's so awesome with video. That's excellent. All right. Well, we're not going to waste any more of your time. We're going to get right into talking about movie stuff. We'll start out with the top 5 movies in the box office over this weekend. I'm just going to throw this out there. I'm going to ask you guys first. What do you think was number 1?
Fast and Furious.
I know it came in number 1. And I can't believe how much money it made, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I can't. That's what's blowing my mind. Fast and Furious was number 1. Does anybody that doesn't know want to take a guess?
50 million.
Okay, number 2 good. Is? How much it made?
50 million. No. Can you believe this? 50 is low.
50 is low?
If I told you. 50 is low.
Wow.
50 is low by a considerable margin.
70?
Wow. $72.5 million.
Nice.
Wow. I'm sorry. This movie's got to suck. Who saw it?
I saw it.
I saw it.
We actually...
We're watching it. Yeah. It's being played right now on our little thing.
Oh, yeah, I just pulled up the podcast or the video stream, and I was just thinking, this is not us talking. This is a trailer.
Oh. Yep, it's there.
Is the sound actually coming through? I tried to turn off the sound. I don't know if the sound's coming through.
No, the sound's not coming through, so it's good.
Well, how do we know? We muted it.
Oh, yeah, never mind. We don't know anything.
Okay, well, I hate Fast and the Furious. So you guys want to talk about it because I'm biased because I hate it. I saw Fast and Furious Part 2, Too Fast, Too Furious,
two
with
was the worst.
Venkman at opening night. That was all. Yeah, two. Well,
now that,
two was,
that
very
was one
bad.
Of the worst. That even, was the worst of the Fast and the Furious bunch.
I'd say my favorite is
even
Tokyo
Vin
Drift.
Diesel was smart.
Yeah,
but did you like that? Who liked it? Who liked this one?
Going into a movie like Fast and Furious, you know what you're gonna get. You know what you're getting yourself into. You're not gonna be like, oh man, this movie's gonna be have great acting. So the script is gonna be awesome. The acting is just gonna be brilliant. And you're not going in to see a good movie. You're going in to see Fast and the Furious Part 4. And the only reason you're going to see it is because it's got cars and it's got
Fury.
Fastness. And people like doing stuff in it and explosions and cars breaking down. I mean, that's what Fast and the Furious is. It's besides that, I mean, don't expect anything great because you're not going to get it. It's not going to happen. But for expecting what, you know, when going in there knowing it was going to be crap, then you can have fun with it. For example, Gabe Froman and I thought it was a great comedy. Apparently, the rest of the theater did it. Because we were laughing out loud at the terrible acting and the dialogue and how just really bad it was. And
people would just stare at us.
We were just like, oh, is no one else laughing? And we'd shrink back down in our seats thinking, yeah.
See, so, that's what blows my mind. It blows my mind that you go to these kinds of movies and the box office, I mean, the theater is full of people. And you really believe that everybody sitting there with you is smart enough to realize that you're watching something horrible or something stupid, and yet so many of them don't see it that way. They genuinely like it.
Yeah, that was kind of baffling. And I was also surprised that the movie sold out. That surprised me too. I was shocked.
There was a crazy big line for the next showing.
Yeah, it's just like, screens. Wow, really? Is Fast and the Furious really that hot of a commodity?
Well, $72 million.
$72 million. You know they're going to come out with a fifth one now.
Yeah, Otternaut in the chat, he was saying that Fast and Furious 3 Tokyo Drift made only $63 million in its entire run domestically.
Right.
But now, you know, Otternaut in the chat says... Well, the reason for this success is he says, would it be Vin Diesel coming back? Now, I can't see that being the case for the fact that every movie Vin Diesel has been in the last few years have kind of been bombs, haven't they? Yeah. They haven't made money at all, so he's not a box office draw, and neither is Paul Walker. So I honestly think it's the cars.
No, I disagree. I think there are two... I agree with the whoever Otternaut is, you know, interesting name. I agree with him or her because I do think Vin Diesel coming back has had a lot to do with it. He hadn't been in any of them since the first one. And again, the first one, as much as I hate to admit it, has a big following. And I want to give credit to Diesel coming back, even though he's not a big star, but that's probably the... You know, when the average person sees Vin Diesel, that's what they think of. I will say this, that teaser trailer for Fast and Furious was amazing. And I think that trailer alone would be a big reason for this opening weekend success. You guys agree with that?
That trailer was the best part of the film. When I saw the first 10 minutes of that movie, I was like, wow, this movie's going to be freaking awesome.
The first 10 minutes is very misleading.
And then it got right, as soon as that hit, it was all melodramatic and people trying, and actors trying to act and deliver bad dialogue.
The street racing was cool, but the tunnel racing was not.
Oh, sheesh. Well, okay, so we agree. They're probably going to make a fifth one. Well, they're going to want to make a fifth one because of this opening weekend take.
You know what?
That's inevitable.
If they do make a fifth one, will Vin Diesel and Paul Walker come back?
I don't know. I mean,
better going. Personally, my favorite of the Fast and the Furious is the third one, where the Tokyo Drift. Yeah. That was my favorite. I still like that one more than this one. And that didn't have any of the Paul Walkers or Vin Diesels in.
Well, it did have Vin. Yeah, had Vin Diesel at the end.
But you got to remember, you guys, we guys are. I mean, we're movie fans. We ultimately know that if we go see Freddy vs. Jason, we're going for the gimmick of Freddy vs. Jason. We know if we go to see Fast and the Furious, we're going to see big action sequences. But we want to see a good movie as often as we possibly can. I honestly don't think that the average moviegoer anymore, I don't think that they have those type of standards. To them, that is a good movie. I don't know. But they just, oh, Vin Diesel is bad, and Paul Walker, they're back together, and boy, this is great action. You know, they go, and then they think it's awesome. Right?
Yeah, you know, you're getting exactly what you expect out of it. No one's expecting the Bourne film level on these.
Yeah, and I've always said that is the key. Well, yeah, that's the thing. I've always said that is the key to enjoying your movie-going experience is if you give somebody what they expected, they're usually not disappointed. If you go to see, you know, the Fast and the Furious just by the title and by the previous movies, of course, you know what you're expecting. You get what you expected. If the action sequences would have sucked, then I don't think the movie would have made so much money. So, you know, none of these guys are going to be nominated for Oscars.
No, it's a right? It's a classic genre film. So it's just delivering exactly what we wanted.
Paul right. Walker and I'm will gonna, one day be nominated for Best Actor.
Good one, thank you.
Right them. With Keanu Reeves. Yeah.
Number two this weekend. Anybody want to guess? All right, no guess. Okay.
Monsters versus Aliens?
Yeah, Monsters versus Aliens, strong second week, $33.5 million. In 2 weeks, this movie's up to $105 million. Have y'all seen it? That's is it good?
Exactly. It's great.
It's great. I love it. So funny. So good. I mean, it's not heavy on story or character, but it is fun, and you're going to laugh your butt off for a very long time.
Really great character design. Just fun. I happened to see it in IMAX 3D, and that was a pretty cool experience.
I need to see that. Let me ask
you guys this. Are these 3D movies? Are these 3D movies? Is it that good quality?
In IMAX, yeah.
Well, that's what I heard. Well, just the animation I saw it in 2D. The animation in that was amazing. Really, really good. So I can't imagine how it looks in 3D. But yeah.
I'm waiting to see a 1D. I just want to see a 1D movie.
Seth Rogen.
This movie is brought to you in.
I believe it's called Radio.
Ah.
1D. Or just D. I guess you don't need the one.
But even radio 1D. Even radio is like, you know, in stereo, that's two dimensions.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Oh, man. This is bad. Okay. Well, Monsters vs. Aliens, all sorts of good voices in it, and that was your number two movie. Number three, The Haunting in Connecticut. $9.5 million. By the way, it should be pointed out, Fast and Furious, $72.5 million, Monsters vs. Aliens, $33.5 million. You're talking about $106 million between number one and number two. That's pretty impressive to say in the first weekend in April. No holiday, not summer season yet. That's pretty cool, I think. Haunting in Connecticut, $9.5 million. Anybody seen The Haunting in Connecticut?
Yeah, I saw it. I talked about it last week on the podcast.
Sure.
I thought it was great. I thought it was good, maybe great. I thought it was great for the fact that it kind of took a step back from the effects-driven horror movies and kind of went with the more classic, subtle style.
Did you say subtle?
I said subtle.
You meant did you subtle. Just say subtle?
No, I meant subtle.
Very good.
I said subtle.
You must.
The B is not pronounced.
The B is pronounced sub.
You must have typed up your comments.
Sub.
Are you gonna go to go watch a ballet?
Sub.
But yes, I liked it just for the fact that it was. What happened? What did I do?
Subtle.
Subtle.
I don't know. Subtle. I'm not going to be able to put that out of my head, so I better move on.
Yeah, move on.
Number four, Knowing. $8.1 million. The Nicolas Cage film is now up to $58 million in 3 weeks. Have you guys seen Knowing?
Yes.
Bankman saw it.
Unfortunately.
He hated it.
I did.
You guys I think I'm the only one on this panel that likes Nicolas Cage. Am I wrong?
You You are absolutely. Well, I know you, I don't like Nicolas Cage.
I have like the race. I liked him in Face Off and Adaptation.
I liked him in Con Air.
Con Air.
And
Raising Arizona. Raising Nicolas Cage, Arizona. He's kind of like the. Yeah, he's kind of like the Burt Reynolds of our generation. He makes like five horrible movies for every one good movie. What? Are you saying that Burt Reynolds didn't make a lot of bad movies?
What?
Hooper? I'm just wondering if you made
Stroker
a good
Ace
recently.
Who? Burt Reynolds or Nicolas Cage?
Burt Reynolds. Was he named good film recently?
No, not recently. Back in the day.
He was Driven. He was all right and Driven.
Don't try to tell me that. Yeah. Don't try to tell me Smokey and the Bandit is not a classic. If that's not on your hit list, then I don't know if I want to talk to you guys anymore.
No, it's a classic.
When's the last time you saw Smokey and the Bandit? Okay, good. Cannonball Run, hello. No, but Nicolas Cage does a lot of bad movies, but I think he's done a lot of good ones too.
True,
but not lately.
You guys are
pretty
hard
on him.
He's
also done a lot of bad ones. Well, he's asked for it.
Thank you.
He's asking for it. He's the one that's picking the movies, and his hairdos. I don't know what's going on with his hair either. You know, I don't know if you've seen those pictures of him in this medieval movie called Season of the Witch, but the guy looks like a. What does he look like? I don't know.
Witch?
He looks like I don't know. No. No.
Good one.
He's
See, if you're
going to
insult
coat,
somebody, at least bring it. On his head?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, but so nobody like, I mean, no one who's seen Knowing has liked it yet. You guys are terrible.
No, but
banging on Nicolas Cage.
No, dude, when you see how bad his acting is in that movie, you will know. You will know what I'm talking about. It was absolutely awful. He wasn't even trying. That's all I'm saying.
He was phoning it in. Is that what you're saying?
Okay, phoning it in. Exactly.
Hello?
He was caging it in.
Good.
Caging it in.
No, that's terrible. Now we've got a new term on the podcast. Okay, I Love You, Man, number 5. This movie looks hilarious.
Oh, that's good. Singing in there.
$7.8 million.
Yeah, it was good. It was.
That's not bad.
It was great. It was very funny. Very funny film. If you haven't seen it yet, you should definitely check it out. You'll like it. It will make you laugh.
It will make you cry. It will make you pee your pants.
It will naked you.
Naked you?
He'll naked you. Yes.
Well, I like Paul Rudd and what's his name? Jason Segel from Forgetting Sarah Marshall and How I Met Your Mother. I think he's pretty darn funny. Segel? Okay. Yeah. Okay. He's good. Okay. So there's your top 5. Number. This is what surprised me. Can anybody think of what big release I did not mention? It debuted this week.
Adventureland?
Yeah.
Adventureland
was number 6.
Yeah,
it only made $6 million.
Well,
what
you know,
you think?
It's kind of marketed more as an indie film. I'm not surprised that it made so little. They didn't really do a good job marketing it to the main public. So, yeah, they kind of asked for it by not putting it out there a little bit more.
Okay. Fair enough, I guess. I mean, I agree. I was a little surprised at some of the effects. The effects. I'm sorry. I'm watching a trailer for something. I'm a little surprised at some of the advertising. I thought it'd be a little heavier. But I don't know. The trailer looks – I mean, it looks funny. Did you see it?
I have not yet seen it. I want to, but I'm looking forward to it. Probably sometime this week.
Mitch Hedberg was on Kevin and Bean here in L.A. on K-Rock, and he said if Superbad, which is the same director as Adventureland, if Superbad is 16 candles, then Adventureland is Pretty in Pink. If that gives you some aspect of how Adventureland's going to be, then good. That's a cool analogy that I thought was given. So.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Pretty good example, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the worst.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either, so I can't really come in and be like, oh yeah, the movie is great. Or I could, and I'd just be lying.
Yeah.
But I don't want to lie to my...
No one wants that.
Yeah. I'm not a liar.
We have dozens of people out there depending on us for accurate opinions.
True that.
Alright, well, there's your top five to review. Number one, Fast and Furious, the big shock of the week. Not that it was number one, but that it made $72.5 million. Monsters vs. Aliens, number two. The Haunting in Connecticut, three. Nicolas Cage in Knowing, number four. And I Love You, Man, number five. And another surprise, we all admitted. I didn't expect Adventureland to not even crack the top five. So there you go. Moving on, is anybody surprised that Watchmen has already dropped so far? It only made $1 million over the weekend, stopped at 105. No. Or did...
Not surprised at all with the bad press and the bad reviews. I think I'm one of the only guys that liked it.
I liked it.
The only one of the sites that liked it.
Yeah.
For this week in box office history, decided to go back 10 years ago to April 1999. Does anybody want to guess what movie was number one in 1999? This weekend in 1999?
Matrix.
Good guess. Was that really a guess, Mr. Black? Or did you
know?
Yeah,
it was. No, I didn't know.
Good job. The Matrix, $27.7 million in its opening weekend.
You guys believe that movie is 10 years old now?
The Matrix
no.
is 10 years old. Wow.
The Matrix is 10 years old.
I do feel
old. Well,
we live in
the third version of the Matrix. I'd like to share a revelation that I've had about the Matrix movie coming out on April, the first week of April, 1999.
Oh,
yeah.
You know,
we should do an anniversary special.
We should. We should.
Okay.
What's the
idea?
Just
the first movie.
Well, really, the special only consists of going, hey, wasn't that part with the bullet? Wasn't that so cool? And everyone, yeah. It wasn't that part where he jumped across the building. Wasn't that cool? Yeah, it was.
Remember that bullet slow motion? And he's like back, and the bullets were like flying right by him, like right by him. Wasn't that cool?
It's so cool.
Yeah, it's such a cool movie.
That's the special right there.
Yeah, because for all the hype around The Matrix and all three of those movies and all the effects and all the story and the Oracle and the One and Neo and Lawrence Fishburne and the Red Pill and the Blue Pill, at the end of the day, what that movie's going to – the impact that movie's going to have on all movies is now in every big action movie, there has to be some sort of slow motion fighting sequence all the time.
Yeah, but that's not really the – I wouldn't really credit The Matrix for that. I would credit a little director named John Woo.
You know what's funny is I remember right after the movie opened, they started doing a special. Like before the movie starts, they would play a commercial for the L.A. Times movie section. And they did this thing in the Old West where they did this whole Old West thing. And people are clapping because it's awesome. And so – and they did a whole slow motion Matrix scene in this Old West cowboy movie just to show how they did. I just thought that was funny.
There you go. Well, I don't want
that thing ran forever. That and the dog one from the LA Times. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Somebody said like they were about to start something.
That was Mazer. What were you gonna say, Mazer?
Mazer.
What? I think The Matrix is more not so much slow motion, but kind of time remapping, where they go from real speed into slow-mo and then go back up into normal speed. You didn't really see that before. It would just be slow-mo, regular speed, slow-mo, kind of John Woo. But in The Matrix, you went from regular speed down to like the speed of a bullet and then back up into regular speed. So that would be
impressive. Yeah, I give him credit for that. But I mean, Mr. Black did point out something that, you know, John Woo did a lot of. He did entire slow motion fight sequences and action sequences.
He basically did his. He basically did his whole movies in slow motion, except for a few parts here and there.
Got to the point where you thought, okay, now I think John Woo is just doing slow motion just to make his movies last a little longer. If you watch Broken, and I mean, if the first movie, first John Woo movie I saw was Face Off. Or no, correct that. I did see
Broken Arrow. What about A Hard Target?
No, I didn't see A Hard Target.
Well, I think this was an answer. Yeah. I think it's better than what America was doing, where they would replay the same clip from different angles.
That's a good point.
I'd rather have one nice slow motion thing than let's play it again from three different angles again and again.
America. You see some guy get punched in the face three times from different angles. It was the same clip. I remember those shots.
Do you guys remember the movie, the Spike Lee movie, the Spike Lee joint, 25th Hour?
I do, but I didn't see it. I remember Edward Norton.
Yeah, there's whenever he hugs someone, he hugs them, and then it shows a different angle of him hugging. Like, the same, like really, Spike? That's the action in there. Is Edward Norton hugging? Like, whenever they do that, it's so bad. I was watching going, what? What's with the weird replay?
It must have been some storyline they cut out. Like he's
No, it's just a bad cut.
Yeah.
Multiple hugging shots.
Just another reason to love Spike Lee. Okay, well, that was your number one movie from first weekend in April 1999. Number two that weekend was 10 Things I Hate About You, starring the late Heath Ledger.
10 Things I Hate About You, great little 90s teen comedy.
I believe they're turning it into a television show, by the way.
Oh.
I believe you're right.
Yes. Good. I'm glad you believe what I believe. The Out of Towners, the remake with Steve Martin and Goldie Hawn, was the number three movie in the country that weekend. Also in the top five was Analyze This with Robert De Niro and Billy Crystal. And then Forces of Nature, the terrible, I don't even know if you want to call it a romantic comedy, but there's a lot of drama in it, but Sandra Bullock and Ben Affleck. That was number five. So, interesting.
Those people are in movies?
They really were.
I don't think anyone's looking for them to like re-team up or anything like that. So,
yeah, I'm fine with Ben Affleck and Sandra Bullock not doing any more movies. But anyway, well, not them not doing any more movies at all. Just they don't have to do them together because I like those actors. I don't know. Once again, very often I'm alone in my tastes here on the podcast.
But that's good. It's good. It's good.
Oh, yeah, because it adds to the flavor. See, you like that, kids? I know some words.
Can't flavor. Like the one thing. Otherwise, it'd be boring.
Exactly. All right, well, moving on. I want to talk about what's coming out this week. And I know you guys are fired up for the release of Hannah Montana, the movie.
Oh, yeah. It's on. Front row.
Well, see, that's the sad thing, is that no matter how bad Fast and Furious actually is, it doesn't have much competition this week. I mean, Hannah Montana comes out. So the Seth Rogen movie, you know, Paul Blart revisited, Observe and Report, is coming out.
Did you see Seth Rogen on SNL last night, EMH?
I saw the opening where he was kind of poking fun at himself for it.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. He's taking questions from the audience, and Kristen Wiig, you know, raised her hand. It's like, did you lose all that weight before or after you were in Paul Blart Mall Cop? You know, Seth was like, well, I wasn't actually in Paul Blart Mall Cop. That's another movie. That's another Mall Cop movie. Wait, you're in another? There's another Mall Cop movie? Yeah. A second Mall Cop movie? Yeah. Yeah, good luck with that.
I actually saw the movie, too.
Which one? Observe and Report?
Yeah, Observe and Report.
Oh.
It's if you're a fan of, you know, full frontal male nudity, this is a movie for you.
So sign me up.
There you go. It has some good Seth Rogen moments, but overall the movie kind of was weak, in my opinion. But just it's what you expect it's going to be.
A lot of other people are saying it's good. But I guess we'll just wait and see.
Is it just me, or has Seth Rogen been associated with a lot of good movies, but he himself is really not funny?
He is in some things. He's got like certain moments. He has moments in movies. He doesn't carry a movie himself.
Plays himself in all of his movies.
Yeah, and that's a problem.
And he does a fine job. I'm not criticizing him, but Family Guy did a great joke about this the other night because somebody was pretending to be Seth Rogen. I totally forget.
That was Seth Rogen playing that.
Exactly. He did his voice and he said, what did he say? I'm in movies that are funny, but I'm not funny or something? I don't know. Because he's not. Well, that's what opened my eyes to it. Because I was just going on. Now I thought he was pretty funny as a supporting character in 40-Year-Old Virgin, but like watching him in Knocked Up and of course he had a smaller role in Superbad, but I didn't think he was that funny. But I like Seth Rogen.
He did write Superbad though. Is the thing.
And that's why I like him, because I mean he's not just flavor of the month actor. He writes stuff. He has good ideas.
Exactly.
Okay, so we have Hannah Montana, Observe and Report, and then Dragon Ball Evolution.
Oh god. And aren't they making a sequel to that too already? They already have like a sequel planned or something?
The sequel's already been written. They're already planning on this thing to be successful, but don't put it past it. Remember, Fast and the Furious made over $70 million this weekend.
That's true.
So we can, with just that, you know, all the Dragon Ball cartoon manga fans out there are going to go see it regardless of how crappy it looks. There's a fan base out there for it, and it's probably going to make a ton of money. And they probably will do a sequel. No matter how bad it is. That's just how it is. That's Hollywood, and that's people. That's people in Hollywood coming together.
Synergy.
And Dragon Ball is one of these cartoons that have been out for a long time. I mean, the thing is like probably pushing 20 years old, and so
it has had a lot of time to it's going.
This thing has a huge fan base worldwide, so I mean, people are going to go watch it.
Do you guys think there's a bigger audience for Astro Boy or Dragon Ball?
Probably Dragon Ball.
Dragon Ball.
Okay.
Astro Boy, the original Astro Boy cartoon is absolutely terrible. It is just boring and it's not fun at all. So when I found out they were making the movie in the first place, I was like, why? The cartoon was awful. So it was just a boring. I just thought it was boring.
They're having Freddie Highmore do the voice.
Well, Freddie Highmore. Yeah.
You know, the original cartoon had the same girl who does the voice of Bobby Hill on King of the Hill.
Oh.
Astro Boy?
Yeah.
The old school one? The one like in the 60s?
No, I'm talking about when they did the series they had like...
They did another series? Ago.
Yeah.
Oh, I never saw that series.
Me and Maisie used to watch it. That was a good one, right?
It's...
Yeah.
It's actually about the same as the original, in my opinion.
Okay. There you go.
But it had Booby Hill, though. Booby Hill.
And
Hill was Astro Boy. And it was awesome. That's about all I got.
I love it when you guys go off and talk about stuff.
No, it wasn't. You're talking about Big Guy and Rusty.
Oh.
That's not Astro Boy, dude.
I got it totally wrong.
So just scratch that, reverse it.
That was a good show.
Wasn't that?
It's not reversed.
The Big Guy and Rusty.
I hate it when you do that, Venkman. Okay, no. What's coming out on DVD and Blu-ray this week? I know sometimes we get excited for some big movies that have never been released on Blu-ray before. And this is one of those weeks, guys, because there's a classic coming out on Blu-ray. I'm talking about none other than Tango and Cash. Sylvester Stallone, Kurt Russell,
coming to Blu-ray. Stop it.
Hey, you shut up. this movie is. No, I really like Tango and Cash. It's great. Stallone and Russell and Jack Palance, Oscar winner, and a pre-Desperate Housewives Terry Hatcher. Thank you very much.
Pre-Lois and Clark.
Exactly. Pre-everything, really. Because, you know, what else did she do before?
It's pre-Terry Hatcher. Yeah. That's like before she was born.
She wasn't hatched yet. She was still in the egg. She wasn't hatched.
Get it? It's a joke. Get it? Liver alone? Okay. We're moving on.
That was good. Okay. Also, the seventh season of Beverly Hills 90210.
Wait, that went on that
long? Yeah, I think I'm gonna pass on that.
That lasted seven seasons?
Oh, gosh, yes.
More than?
Thought it lasted eight. Yeah. Oh, and of course, Phil Mickelson's Secrets of the Short Game, if you want to brush up on your golf tips. There.
On our gospel tips?
Golf.
No!
That's not. What is that?
That was an angel from heaven, my friend.
That was giving you some gospel tips.
In all seriousness, the three big titles, Doubt, the Academy Award nominations abound? Aplenty. That's what they was nominated for five. Anyway, Doubt's coming out on DVD Tuesday, as well as Bedtime Stories. You did or didn't?
No, I did, and if you didn't see it, you should definitely pick it up. At least rent it, because it's a really good movie. Meryl Streep and Philip Seymour Hoffman are awesome in that thing, man. Wow. Acting great. You can't get better.
But if you do want to see Philip Seymour Hoffman get hugged in different angles, go rent 25th Hour.
There you go.
If you want to see Philip Seymour Hoffman play basketball with Ben Stiller,
let it ring.
Let it ring.
Let it ring.
I'm sorry. Two of the funniest things I've ever seen in a movie. When Philip Seymour Hoffman is saying "Let it rain" and ball it, because you know I'm a basketball coach and I'm a huge basketball fan. So the terminology that he was using, the way he was using. Really connected with me. And when he's saying, outlet, look, rain dance. That was hilarious. But then in the very first scene of the movie, when they're at the where the wedding's going to be, and Philip Seymour Hoffman walks in and says, best man is in the house. And he slips and falls. That made the best comedic fall I've ever seen in my life. No lie. That's all.
Yeah, no, you can't, like, I don't know how he faked that. That was brilliant. The long kick fall, that was brilliant. So good. And then but you know what, if you actually rewatch that movie, EMH, and there's a basketball scene, you know where he runs into the fence?
Yes.
Where, like, you see a cameraman with a Steadicam filming him from a different angle.
Oh, no way.
Rewatch that. Yeah, when you see him running the fence, it's a guy like underneath the basket too. It's not like he's like hidden or he came off the court. He's from another angle. It's right in the movie. And you know, like, I didn't notice it the first time. I rewatched that scene. I'm like, there's a cameraman right there.
Oh, I got to see that because that's hilarious. So I love that scene. And
I love,
you know, that
cameraman's movies. Cameraman's.
That movie's underrated. That movie's underrated because not only was he so funny, but also when he was in Jesus Christ Superstar, and they had the scenes where he was rehearsing for that. That was so funny. And also the term sharded, I don't know why that's not even more prevalent in our lingo now. Because when he pulls Ben Stiller aside and says, "We have a situation," I just sharded. That's hilarious, because if you're like me, you knew what he was talking about the second he said it. He didn't have to explain it. It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
But that's a nice little tangent, Venkman. Thank you for that. Because you brought up, if you want to see Philip Seymour Hoffman play basketball. And if you want to see Philip Seymour Hoffman before he was famous, watch Twister, right? Because he was that guy in Twister.
Who's he in Twister?
Don't you remember the obnoxious guy that was on Bill Paxton's team of Twister Hunters? Because Bill is the extreme. You remember that guy? who wanted to go have steak and eggs, and he said, food. You remember that?
He was like the nerdy guy. He was like the nerdy guy in the back of their truck.
I gotta rewatch it. Where's the dude, by the way?
The dude?
Well, he must not be there.
I guess we lost him a long time ago.
He must have sharted.
Yeah, he was here
earlier. He did. He has a situation. I quoted the Big Lebowski earlier tonight, and I thought of the dude. But, you know, now, you know, he's gone. Okay, well, Bedtime Stories is also coming out. Adam Sandler, nice fan movie, from what I understand. As well as The Tale of Despero, the mouse with the gigantic ears. Uh-oh. Did you guys lose me?
No, you're
there. We're there. We got you.
Oh, whew. Good.
I don't think anyone's seen The Tale of Despero to really comment on it.
I thought Venkman saw it.
Venkman, you watched Tale of Despero, right?
Yeah, I didn't like it.
He didn't like it.
Okay, now it sounds like Venkman was in the room mingling at a party, and someone yelled, "Hey, Venkman, you like this movie, right?" Yeah, I'm good. You want to talk about phoning it in? I don't ever want to hear a criticism on Nicolas Cage when Venkman is mixing it up with people while doing the podcast. Yeah, it was great. I saw it.
We're having a cocktail party here at Venkman's house.
All right. Well, for anybody that cares, I know we talked about The Matrix earlier. Well, Keanu Reeves is also in The Day the Earth Stood Still. That comes out on DVD, as well as the Jim Carrey comedy Yes Man. Did anybody see Yes Man?
I did.
Was it good?
It's all right. You get what you expect out of it. It's just Jim Carrey, Zooey Deschanel, and they...
Zooey Deschanel.
Random antics.
Well,
I wouldn't buy the movie, but I own the soundtrack to the movie. I don't know what that says.
Well, it says that you like the music, but when I first saw the trailer for this film, I thought, there's no way that I want to go see this. It looks ridiculous. It looks like the same old Jim Carrey. But now, I don't know if it's because that was the holidays and there's a lot more really good films out and other things on my mind. But now I'm seeing the trailer for it, right, you know, leading up to the video release, and I'm thinking, okay, yeah, I could probably sit down and watch that in April. So, I don't know. I might give it a shot. Anybody else going to see Yes Man? Yes.
I'll watch it. I didn't care to watch it in theaters, but I loved Zooey Deschanel, and so I'm super down to go see that.
Yeah, that alone would make me want to see it.
It's got some funny situations. It's all right. I mean.
Yeah. All right. Well, I may give it a shot then. I wanted to get you guys' opinion because how long have we been going, Mazer? Are we hit like 45 minutes yet? Are we pushing an hour?
We're at the 51-minute mark. But I think we had about 10 minutes of technical difficulties. So.
Gotcha. All right. Well, what I was going to do, I figured last few weeks without me, you guys have been covering movies and movie talk really well. I wanted to talk a little bit about some television tonight. First, you know, just get everybody's – just kind of check in with me on what you guys think the best stuff on television right now, what people might be missing. And what you're looking forward to? Anybody have anything to contribute there?
Yeah, I got a show that probably most people are not watching that is actually really good. Is that show Kings?
Mm-hmm.
Which is on in 4 minutes or something like that?
Yeah, it starts in like 4 minutes. It stars Ian McShane and nobody else is really that famous. Susanna Thompson, who you Star Trek fans might know. That's pretty much it. It's a really good show. It's basically based off of the story of David and Goliath and how David rises to become king of Israel. But it's set in like a modern day alternate world.
Yeah, but it also has a bigger story of how David and Saul, their whole dynamic.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting.
Yeah, so it's basically the story of David and his kind of his whole life. But it's like interpreted for the modern age and, you know, it's got all that. It's kind of stuff in it. It's a really good show. Really well done.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah. See, I didn't know anything about that.
Steve Harvey
I mean,
and Cedric the Entertainer in it, right?
What?
Got Steve Harvey and Cedric the Entertainer.
That's Kings of Comedy.
Oh, sorry. I was misinformed about the show.
Oh, man. That was funny, though, Kings of Comedy. I love that. No, Well, I haven't. I mean, I've seen the commercials for it, and I had no idea though. Now I feel kind of stupid. I had no idea it was based on the David and Goliath story.
That's and you have good little appearances like by Brian Cox and you have like really good actors showing up on this show randomly, and you're like, how did they get all these great actors to just have these little kind of cameo appearances?
And so it's really just well written too. It's a really well written show. I mean,
what network should come on?
I think it's NBC.
Yeah,
it's NBC.
You think I can get it online? Can I get it
on NBC? You
can
see it on Hulu. They have every episode on Hulu.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I may check that out. That's pretty cool. Thank you for that. Who else has? See, Mr. Black is always bringing something that I don't know or have never heard of. Now, I've heard of Kings, but I didn't know it. So thank you for that.
Have you heard of a little show called Lost?
Yes, I have. And I love it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that see, the sad thing pretty, is pretty damn good, isn't it?
I'm one week behind. Otherwise, I just open a big wide open.
Oh, 1 week behind. No.
I'm actually this whole season behind.
I was going to watch this afternoon. Oh, you haven't watched Lost, or you don't watch it at all?
No, I do, but ABC.com is where I usually watch it at because I don't own a TV, and they have the entire season. You can see every other episode except for like the first five of season five, which is odd to me. So I'm not caught up with the season.
They want you to go to Hulu to watch it.
Well, tell you
not
what,
on
Lost
Hulu.
Is getting awesome. And Lost is
Lost
awesome.
Is not on Hulu. So.
And if you're not watching Lost, you should be watching it.
Well, this about Lost. This season.
But I'm sure most of us here have been watching it, so I think we're all good.
What a trumpeting endorsement by Bankman. If you're not watching it,
always. If you're not watching it, you need to watch it. Yes. You know, Mr. Black gives us a rundown of Kings and what it is, what it's about.
Viewership is. What happened?
It's just the image making fun of
you. Damn you.
Go ahead.
Damn you.
Go ahead.
Viewership is down. It's shrinking. You know,
I thought
people
it was up.
Aren't watching Lost anymore. So
it's
I say
to watch,
you
though.
That stop watching. Go watch it. Get out there and watch it.
It's really good. It's not like.
But it's the kind of show you have to watch every week. That you have to watch it.
Yeah,
that's the point.
That's the problem for a lot of people.
I missed like half a season. I just powered through it. I didn't bother getting it. I just kind of got filled in as.
Well, that's
all
right.
Even filling you in.
Hard as it is to try to jump into Lost and not know what it is, even those people who are watching every single episode have the same questions as people who are behind. So just start watching.
Yeah. Do it.
Sure.
Yeah. Just do it.
Well, here's the thing, and Mr. Black brought up something very intriguing that we could probably talk about for quite a while, but that is the truth. In this day and age, not only are we busier than ever with all of our, you know, the devices that keep us busy, but we also have so many channels, so many viewing options, so many shows that are you know, pulling us for their viewership. If you look at the most successful shows, I mean, there's a reason why CSIs are so popular, Law and Order is so popular, The Mentalist is the number one show on television, or number one new show this season on television. You don't have to watch every week. You just don't. I could turn on CSI New York. I haven't seen it in 3 years. I could turn it on this week and probably just love it and not have to worry about backstory. And I think that's the problem with shows like Lost and even Heroes, which I haven't seen in a couple of years anyway. But some of these shows are just
systems on Heroes.
You've got to be invested, and Lost is that way. And I'm telling you now, I've seen every episode of Lost ever, and this season more than any other season. I'm almost to the point where I just don't even know what's going on anymore. I'm just watching to get me to the end, and hopefully they're going to clear all this up. And I'm not complaining. I love it. I absolutely love it. And every week it seems like there's a flashback. Something that I haven't seen, you know, from like season one or season two, and I think, oh my gosh, I forgot about that. But I think it's awesome.
it used to be go that ahead, I would I would talk about Lost all the time, like with theories and this is what's going on, this what's happening, this is what's going to happen, this is how it's going to end. I gave up on all that. I don't even try anymore.
Because
there's no
because
point.
The show has done such a good job. Well, the show has done such a good job of absolutely blowing every possible theory you come up with out of the water.
Exactly.
And now it's just like there could only be one answer, and we can't figure out what it is. But
you just have to watch it. Not. Watch and learn.
Yeah.
Watch and
I love Lost. I love Lost. I think Lost is awesome. I think 24 is awesome. I'm still several episodes behind, but so far I'm loving it this season. But the one show that I really want to talk to you guys about, and I hope you guys have been seeing the commercials for this because it hasn't come on yet, but it debuts this week, and that's Harper's Island. Have you guys heard of this?
No.
Oh, yeah. That's like the one that takes place in the mental institute, right?
Well, I don't know if it's a mental institution. If you don't mind, I don't like to read. I'm not much of a reader, but I'm going to read directly from CBS.com website about Harper's Island. I'm going to be brief, but it says Harper's Island is about a group of friends who travel to a secluded island off the coast of Seattle for a destination wedding. The island is famous for a streak of unsolved murders from 7 years ago, and although they've come to laugh and to love, what they don't know is they've also come to die. As the wedding festivities begin, friendships are tested and secrets exposed as a murderer claims victims one by one, transforming the wedding week of fun and celebration into a terrifying struggle for survival. Basically, CBS has already come out and said this is going to start April 9th. We're running 13 episodes. The season finale is, they've already said June, whatever it is, and every week somebody's going to die. Nice. They've even got contests on their website. Like, you know, you can pick who's going to die and try to win some money and stuff. But I don't know. When I see the...
And this is a reality TV show, right?
Thank you. Yeah. It's a reality show. Harper's Island. Someone's going to die.
Every week a contestant dies.
The sad thing is I'm not too far away from... I mean, a few years back during the whole reality TV influx, I thought, oh my gosh, somebody's going to die on these shows, or they're going to pay somebody to kill somebody else. I don't know. It was getting bad for a while. But anyway, Harper's Island, are you guys going to watch this? Please watch it. Let's watch it. Come on.
You know, I'm going to check it out. That's totally different than the one I was thinking of, obviously. There is a mental institute one coming out. I don't know what it's called, though.
Wow. Watch Snake Harper's Pit, Island. I'm going to Harper's Island. Vacation spot, dude.
There's also a new new show starting up this week called Southland. Oh. Southland? Is that what it's called?
Southland with
it's Southland, yeah.
With the OC kid?
Yeah.
He's a cop?
It's basically Training
he's a
Day.
Cop. He's an LAPD Training Day TV show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's basically Training Day.
The cops are black.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it would be nice for once on this podcast. It would be nice if for once on the podcast all of us could talk about something that we all saw that was new. I think it should be Harper's Island. Dang it. Because it's debuting. It's the first episode. And
If I can find it online, I will watch it.
That's
Mr.
awesome.
Black's the only odd
It'll probably be me that doesn't watch.
I don't own a TV, dude.
I'll come in. I'll come in.
You do own a TV. It's a very big TV, so you shut your mouth, Mr. Black.
That is not my TV. That is Razor's TV.
I don't really watch it, though. It's downstairs, and that's like... That's a lot of feet to walk.
Very nice. All right. Well, other than that, I will say this. I don't know how The Office continues to find a way to get funnier, but it just seems funnier and funnier
or
every single
awkward.
Week. I'm what?
I said or more awkward.
Oh my
it's
gosh, yes.
The Office. Isn't it?
That's what makes it is very awkward and sometimes darn right uncomfortable. Yes, I agree.
You know, it's like you start squirming in your seat, like, I think I'll watch this.
Well, you're afraid that somebody is finally going to beat the heck out of Michael Scott, and you know, can't say that you blame him. Yes,
his boss.
I thought, oh my god,
challenge his boss. That's
bad.
That's awesome.
That was gonna be great. Oh man, I love that show. It's so funny. I mean, it's so funny, and they continue to find ways to not let it get boring, you know, not let it get redundant in The Office. At least that's my opinion. But still, I also want to point out that How I Met Your Mother is getting funnier and funnier as well. I think those are the two funniest shows on TV, but that's, again, just my opinion. It's not very humble, but it is
pretty good. You know what's sweet about this week is we get two new episodes of The Office. Two ghosts. Yeah. Two.
I think that's great. I think it's all these unexpected presidential press conferences. People are getting some free extra television shows. Some of their favorite shows coming.
On television, I guess.
All right. Well, you know what? I don't have anything else. I've had a wonderful time talking about this stuff. Does anybody have any topics they want to get on before we leave?
I want to discuss the Bruno trailer. Oh, Bruno? Yeah. Oh my gosh. EMH, have you seen that?
I have not seen it, but I heard it's the new Sacha Baron Cohen movie.
Yes. Anyone
well,
listening,
tell me about
do yourself a favor. Log on to the Geek Parent site that you're already on if you're listening to my voice. And watch the new Bruno trailer. It will make you 10 times more uncomfortable than watching The Office. And it's probably going to be one of the most offensive movies ever made.
Yeah.
I think it's safe to say.
I can't wait.
Is it a Red Van trailer?
Yes,
it is.
Ah, gotcha. Well, then I guess I've got to see it.
Oh, I should have downloaded that.
Yeah. Well, we can talk about Jackie Earle Haley as you download that, playing Freddy.
No, well, the thing is, if I do that, it might mess up the connection with everything else.
We'll show it next week.
We'll show it next week. We'll go over next week.
Yeah. Bruno.
But yes, Jackie Earle Haley is playing, is being cast as Freddy Krueger in the new Nightmare on Elm Street remake. And if you don't know who Jackie Earle Haley is, he played Rorschach in
Rorschach
in I'm all about mispronouncing this now, in Watchmen.
Look,
and I think he'll do a great job, and he's the only reason I'm going to go see this remake.
Yeah, he was amazing as a Rorschach. So
now who's
if
who's
you
that?
Don't know if you don't know who Jackie Earle Haley is, watch a little film called The Bad News Bears. Because he is one of the baddest kids ever. Kelly Leak.
Wow.
Jackie Earle Haley.
Wow, I totally forgot Kelly about that, man.
In his greatest nice. Role. Oh, wow. My gosh. Every time I see Jackie nice. Earle Haley, I just think, Kelly Leak, we go a dollar a game here. Guys, Bad News Bears is one of the most quotable movies I've ever seen, and not enough people know it, so. If you haven't seen that movie in a while, unedited, of course, the version that comes on television is not
the original. The original.
Yes.
Yes. So,
don't go watch, Go to Japan or the original with Billy Bob Thornton. No, I mean, it was not. I'm not going to say the original was or the remake was horrible, but it's nowhere near as good as the original when Walter Matthau was handing out beer to the 10 and 12 year old kids. I love it. Yeah. Go see.
I get to hand alcohol to kids.
It was so fun. I mean, some of the things they said in that PG-rated movie, you just. I mean, obviously you could say it today, but it would so. I mean, you get so much heat for saying that, and it's so funny. But anyway, well, that's good. So I need to check out this Bruno trailer, and we're gonna talk about that next week again. That'd be good.
Yeah.
All right. Anybody else? Parting shots?
I have nothing.
I think we're good. Right. Dude, I don't know what he's on, but I don't know where.
Apparently, dude, we missed you.
We miss you, buddy.
Sorry.
Says it's connected, so.
Yeah.
He's probably, you know.
He was trying to talk.
Maybe he's trying to talk the whole time. Yeah, maybe. Oh, no.
Listen, dude, if you need rescuing, just say, I believe Louisiana is the Pelican State. That's from a movie.
Whoa! And the dude has joined us. All right, let's start the podcast.
All right.
I was going to say, guys.
So, welcome. Number one this weekend.
Fast and Furious, $7,200 billion. Okay.
I love that movie. Best movie ever. Let's talk about it.
Dude, we're glad that you're here.
Come on.
Very briefly, dude, there's a Bruno trailer and Harper's Island and Lost and The Matrix, and that's pretty much it for this week.
I'm putting them on my queue. They're going in my queue right now.
Nice. Okay, well, folks, you know, we're sorry about the technical difficulties. We'll try to fix that for next week, but thanks for joining us, so we'll do it again next time.
Thanks, everybody. Have a great night.
Bye.
It.
All right.